Hey East Meets West listeners, in this week's episode, Albert and I go back to our roots with a breakdown of Tencent. Tencent is one of the world's largest and most valuable tech companies, with its flagship product WeChat having over 1 billion monthly active users. But Tencent's influence goes way beyond China. The company has made investments in tech companies around the world, including stakes in Epic Games, Spotify, and Tesla. To top it all off, Tencent Games is one of the world's largest game developers. So we explain each of these aspects of Tencent in this week's episode. Keep listening and enjoy. Welcome to the East Meets West podcast, a podcast about understanding Asia tech and how Asia tech affects the world. My name is Dan. Joining me, as always, Albert. How are you doing?
Dan, I'm going good. We just had a quick recording mishap, but we're back. I'm going really good. Dan, where are you right now?
A look behind the scenes from Albert. I'm in Indonesia, one of my regular haunts. This time, though, for good, no return ticket. So a little bit daunting, but very, very exciting.
Nice. What's some of the best thing you've eaten this week since you've been there?
Oh my God. Yesterday I had this like dry ramen noodle, extra spicy, delicious, but my stomach is still feeling it.
Oh, nice. Oh, sorry. Maybe this is insensitive, but I have to ask, like, how are you finding, like getting around in Jakarta, things like that? How's your Indonesian?
Oh, no, it's going fine. It's honestly, with English, you can get anywhere. I probably overdo it a little bit trying to speak Indonesian and most people just reply in English. In terms of
That's an
apps,
insult. That's such an insult.
I mentioned last time that Grab is just so accessible. I got a new phone the other day, set up Grab in like under 10 seconds and then got the equivalent of an Uber and went around. So really, really easy to get places in Indonesia. Encourage people, if you haven't been, come check it out now. But let's get into Tencent. When you messaged me and said, hey, let's do a shallow dive, you know, a bit of a throwback to our deep dives into Tencent, I thought, geez, this is a mammoth task. I should set aside my whole week. How did you prepare to tackle the behemoth that is Tencent, Albert?
I'm surprised you haven't talked about Tencent directly on this podcast, given we talked about basically every other amazing or like ginormous Asian Chinese business. I think coming into this, really just wanted to provide an overview of like what Tencent is as a business and then analogize it to a few other Western companies just to frame up like this is a ginormous business that has its kind of finger in a lot of pockets.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we're going to get into, I think, is our East versus West comparisons. And everywhere you go when you research into Tencent, it talks to you how there's five or six different comparisons. You know, for one Western company, there's Tencent. So Tencent's like this amalgam of five, six, seven different companies, which, you know, I think is probably the only way to look at it. It is just so huge. Like if we get into some of the numbers, 98% of people in China use a Tencent app. It's basically got over 1.2 billion users with its WeChat function. It's one of the largest gaming companies in the world. So Albert, I know I'm starting to, I think, creep into the content of this pod. Where do you want to start? We know Tencent is massive. It's got its fingers everywhere. Which vertical do we want to start with?
Yeah, let's talk about Tencent as a whole. Let's talk about specific verticals. Obviously, this ginormous tech conglomerate, I don't know how else to describe it, but that has a pretty broad focus. One of the most diversified companies in the world covers gaming, cloud, social media, SaaS, entertainment, music streaming, etc. Founded in 1998, has a market cap at the moment of about 431 billion US. It's like the 15th most valuable company in the world. I think a lot of people will probably have known Tencent for its most popular app, WeChat and QQ, from a consumer lens. And then if you're playing in the software space, there's Tencent Cloud, which is one of the largest public cloud hosters in Asia. Just some numbers here. In FY22, they did about $81 billion in revenue. But yeah, Tencent really rose to fame being, I guess, the online fabric and infrastructure of China. through WeChat and the ecosystem around WeChat.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting when you dive back into kind of the founder story and the founder's journey. There's a really good book about Tencent called The Influence Empire, The Story of Tencent and China's Tech Ambition, which puts Tencent in the context not only of itself, but also the rise of Didi, Meituan, Alibaba, and how Pony Ma and the founding team for Tencent didn't see themselves as competing against some of these other companies. They saw themselves as being the air and water of the internet for China. And when you look at how they've kind of spread throughout the ecosystem, you can see that they really kind of stayed true to it. And another part of it, which is interesting, is compared to Alibaba with Jackie Ma, very flashy, very out there, and ultimately getting into trouble with the Chinese government. Their approach is to being very withdrawn, kind of reserved, because they kind of are wanting to be that background infrastructure for the internet in China. So they've really stayed out of the limelight, which is a interesting contrast to how Alibaba's had the sort of flare-ups it's had.
Yeah, let's probably talk about each of the verticals, but I kind of want to talk about how first Tencent came to be. And so they've got this app called WeChat, which is effectively like WhatsApp in China and Asia, but it's probably way more than WhatsApp than what people think about WhatsApp. And so at the core, it is a messaging app, but more broadly, it's probably also more like a phone operating system in itself. So WeChat, if anyone has used it or has downloaded it, core competencies chat, but around WeChat, they've built this whole ecosystem of apps, including like WeChat Pay, there's gaming, there's e-commerce. Like there's this app that you download from an app store that functions as a chat app, but also functions as basically every other app that you could probably get on a phone. So it's pretty amazing how you've got this core wedge that Tencent's built with 1.3 billion users globally. Like that's actually a lot of users. Like when you think about like 1.3 billion is an incredible amount of users. And through that user base, they've built a really strong wedge, which has kind of built the core of the business.
Yeah. So this is one of the comparisons I really want to get into, because it's I think very much overlooked the difference between something like WeChat and something like WhatsApp. And the key difference is the interoperability between other app creators. Where if you look at WhatsApp, you know, that's Meta, that's Facebook. They create all of the features, all the integrations. They've got 100% control over it. I can't access Twitter inside my WhatsApp. I can't access Uber or Deliveroo or anything like that. The equivalent in WeChat is that you can. They have what's called mini programs, which allows users to access services from other entities without having to download their apps at all. And in that way, it kind of functions a bit like the Apple App Store, where WeChat takes a clip from all those different apps, which are essentially on their platform, but they're not going through the burden of creating those features for their users. Instead, all of these third parties are doing that through the WeChat platform. And that's just a completely different approach to something like WhatsApp. It's really opened it up. It's a completely different way of doing. And I think that's one of the reasons it's so popular and customizable for consumers.
Yeah. From everything to like calling a cab or taxi, to food delivery, to paying your bills, to paying your friends, managing your wealth, gaming. Like there's a pretty broad ecosystem around WeChat. And so Tencent's really managed to build out this product with incredible distribution and brand. And through that, they've built out kind of a couple of key pillars across consumer and enterprise. So specifically talking about the verticals they play in, communications and social, obviously that's like WeChat and QQ as the core business. They've also got a business called Qzone. And they've got a digital content business that we probably could analogize to very similar to Netflix or Amazon Studios, mm-hmm. as well as like Sony Music and things like that. They play across gaming, video streaming, movie production. So they did a few of the DC movies like They did Wonder Woman. They did Venom very recently. They did like the new King Kong movie. So it's not like Tencent Productions is doing like Chinese movies you've never heard of. Like they're doing pretty incredible films. They're doing a Guy Ritchie film that's due to come out this year with Guy Ritchie, Aubrey Plaza, Jason Statham. So yeah, pretty big music studio and entertainment business. They've also got some sports and news, and then they've got their kind of payments and fintech business. Obviously, they've got the WeChat Pay that we've talked about that's integrated in WeChat. They've got like WeChat Wallet. They've got like QR codes on Asia. You can pay people through QR codes. And then again, this probably starts to touch upon how ginormous of a business this is. They've got all your traditional consumer facing apps like Tencent Maps, Tencent Mail. They've got a browser, etc.
Yeah, you've just touched on a lot there, Albert, but I think that's the point. This is the breadth of Tencent. It's not just one company. It's, you know, a dozen of them all rolled into one. Each of them could be valued, you know, extremely, extremely well. What I wanted to maybe hone in on, Albert, is what I see as kind of the breadwinner for Tencent, which is its gaming vertical. It's, you know, very, very comparable to the Sony's and Microsoft's, touch more in terms of revenue, which is why I call it, you know, one of the biggest gaming companies in the world. If we're just viewing Tencent through a reductive prism of, you know, the biggest gaming company in the world, what does that mean to you? And what are you seeing out of Tencent through that lens?
Thinking about gaming as a business, they've obviously got an incredible slate of games. Again, this isn't just like random games that are huge in Asia that you haven't heard of. Like Tencent structure their gaming business across both production and distribution. So not only are they creating games, but they're also licensing games and then sending that to their users. So PUBG is a game that we've talked about in this podcast before. That's something that they're known for. They've also obviously got League of Legends. They've got Call of Duty Mobile. And these are really huge games that Tencent has the rights to or can distribute that people don't think about or don't talk about, because Tencent, like you said at the top of this pod, kind of stay in the shadows, for lack of a better word.
What really kind of stood out to me as you sort of listed off those things or those games, Tencent's kind of got golden touch where it is picking out different types of content. And we've talked about, you know, just the ability to pick content is going to make or break companies in the next century. How do you think Tencent's made it so that they can really pick out the winners like your PUBGs, like your League of Legends? What's the difference between them and some of the other companies out there?
I don't want to speculate here as to whether they're doing this, but I'm going to touch upon it. So Tencent have like incredible distribution through WeChat and kind of all the associated ecosystems with WeChat. When you've got 1.3 billion users, you have a pretty good indicator of where consumer sentiment is, because people are talking about how they feel, what they're looking to play, what they're looking to do on this app. Imagine if you've got the conversations on your computer of 1.3 billion people, you can start to do analysis on like what people are talking about, where traffic is going, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not gonna say that they do monitor people's chats, they probably don't. And that's a huge amount of data you would have to analyze. But because they've got this ecosystem within WeChat, they can start to see where traffic is going as a leading indicator. And that just informs their shot selection around what games to show people or to acquire, what content to show people, what advertising. Because everyone is interacting with everyone else in the ecosystem through this one app that they've built. And because they've centralized everything within this app, people don't go elsewhere, so they can see where traffic is going and what consumer sentiment looks like.
I think it's 100% right. This might be a nice place to kind of pivot to another big part of Tencent, which is its role as a global investor. We've talked about this a few times with some of the big conglomerates in Asia, how they'll just kind of pick up minority stakes in all sorts of different companies. So Tencent has got a big chunk of Tesla. As mentioned, they're in Epic Games, the studio which created Fortnite in America. They own League of Legends, so that's Riot Games. And they've got these hands in all these different sort of production studios. If you've got insights into some of the best run companies, not just in gaming, but also in films, also in music. They've got a stake in Spotify. I think you can really start to craft a picture of how the world is trending, what's working, what's not working. We both love the book Red Albert, which is kind of taking cues from different realms and then taking your own lane from that. I think Tencent's got that top-down view of how things and markets are moving, and that also helps them inform what content are they going to pick up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny actually seeing what Tencent's invested in. So like, you know, using the example that you just gave of like Epic Games, and Epic Games produces Fortnite, which directly competes with a game that has been developed by Tencent, like PUBG. They're almost or very similar types of games, but they do compete against each other in terms of the realm of gaming. Seeing how you can use learnings from either Epic or PUBG to inform the other, one as a shareholder and one as an operator of a game.
Albert, where do you want to turn to next?
Look, I think, you know, as we've been talking about Tencent, we've been talking about gaming, I think the other thing I really want to talk about is it like entertainment that's like video streaming and music streaming. And that probably rounds out the kind of key buckets of what this business is, aside from fintech, which probably deserves its own podcast. You know, I really want to talk about Tencent's got this pretty interesting digital content business across gaming. We talked about video, pictures, Tencent News. It's almost like, and Tencent Music, sorry, which it owns a bunch of different things. It's almost like its own Netflix plus Spotify plus Apple News, New York Times, all rolled up into one. There's probably no other comparison for it except for maybe Disney, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, even then, I think that's a tough one. I mean, just to put some numbers to what you're talking about, but if we're just looking at the music segment for Tencent, more than 60 million people are paying for the Tencent Music subscription. It's really, really pervasive. I mean, if you want sort of a catchword for describing Tencent across so many of different verticals, it is just pervasive. But what that kind of queries for me, Albert, what that brings to surface is, what's the direction? And I think sometimes I've been overly critical of companies which are doing just tremendously well across all these different verticals and being, you know, what's the strategy? What's the direction here? What's the strategy behind all of these different little content, digital content arms they have, music, film, etc.?
Yeah, I think that the strategy for them is just trying to position themselves as like a product and distribution machine. So once you have, and they've done this, once you've built out a business like Tencent that has incredible distribution, when I talk about distribution, I mean 1.3 billion users, you can push anything through WeChat, and it'll go to every one of these users. You've got, if you produce a movie, like so let's say a movie that they produce through Tencent Pictures, you can now send a notification to 1.3 billion users, right? And that has an opportunity cost, but it doesn't have a real cost. And so that is what this business is doing. They've trying to build out an incredible distribution flywheel, which they have done. And now they're trying to build and play in adjacent services, such as media, entertainment, fintech, gaming, that lets them leverage their distribution. So that's why they predominantly play in consumer with a bit of enterprise, which we haven't really talked about, but it's probably not that interesting to talk about. So when I think about what the strategy is for them, it's trying to choose the next adjacency to then become their force multiplier. I think the challenge I see with a business like Tencent is they're doing $81 billion USD in revenue, and that's kind of growing very slowly or staying still. So the past kind of two or three quarters, that's growing like a tiny bit, but for the most part, they're doing about 140 RMB, so about 20, 22 bill USD a quarter. In order to supercharge your growth or to grow, you know, 10, 20% year on year, they really have to find the next major step change. Like going from 80 bill to 100 bill in revenue is probably something they can do over time. But how do you go from like 80 bill to 160 bill in revenue? And that's just like incredible value creation that it's not that obvious to me, and it probably sounds like it's not that obvious to you, as to where Tencent get that additional 80 bill from.
Yeah, you're right. Because when I'm looking at the verticals they're in, there's a growth story with games. Like we can see that. But I think the step change that we see with games is behind us. Now it's going to be that incremental, steady growth. I don't see anything like AR or anything like that, which is really coming to just bring in a whole host of revenue and new users to the gaming sector. So I think it's a pretty steady vertical. Music, etc., I see pretty much the same given Tencent's massive penetration. Like it's hard for them to find green fields to then just find that growth out of. Which Albert kind of leads me to the buzzword for this year is AI. Is there anything there for Tencent to find that force multiplier? If you had to put on your speculation hat, what's the force multiplier that Tencent might be going for?
Yeah, to be honest, it's hard for me to say. They are looking at rolling out AIs, but in all like AI as a whole, I think there's probably two lenses to it. The first is like as content creation. And then the second is like probably to give them deeper insights and analysis. And then, so there's a third, which is like kind of back office efficiencies. But I'm not sure at least from what their conversations are and what they're putting out to market, whether AI is going to be the force multiplier for them that gets them from 80 to say 160. And that's like a mammoth task. Like maybe AI helps them get from 80 to 100 or helps them increase their margins. So they did about $3.3 billion USD in free cash flow margin. So that's like, you know, not a lot compared to $81 billion revenue, but that three, you know, if you got a business that prints $3 billion US a year, that's pretty good cash that you can, you know, do whatever you want with to give back to shareholders, invest in, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I don't know whether for them AI is going to be the needle that helps lead to more value creation or just helps them capture profit that was otherwise going to back office.
As we kind of wrap up, Albert, this what you're just saying kind of sparked for me my East meets West comparison. And I know as we're going in, I was going to say Google, but if we're just looking at that kind of problem that Tencent's grappling with, it reminds me so much of Facebook. Like you have massive market penetration, you're everywhere, you're just a cash printing machine, but then you just start looking around for, well, where's the growth? And for Facebook, they tried this whole Meta concept and they're still trying it, having a lot of issues. Like I think, as you say, Albert, going from that 80 to 160, that's a whole different ball game. And not many companies have to deal with it. There's not much precedent for you to work with. And that to me is, I think, a really good comparison for where Tencent's at the moment, trying to find their new growth.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about this in their latest kind of earnings call, talking about, you know, using and developing AI to amplify growth. But I think this is kind of just stuff you put out to market to then talk about and give investors comfort. Like, I'm just quoting verbatim, our core user-to-user service is unaffected or empowered by AI technology enhancements, while foundation models facilitate our attraction of user to machine learning services. And so, like, this is kind of just stuff you put out to market to either, like, you know, give them confidence or to prevent any like issues that people see that Tencent might be impacted by, you know, generative AI, et cetera. I think for them, it's like, can they leverage generative AI through their distribution channels and create like something relatively enduring? Like we all saw how quickly OpenAI scaled to 100 million users. If Tencent came out with some sort of generative AI service that they managed to then pump a subscription for, they've got the distribution, you get a bit of uptake through that. Suddenly you've got, you know, 500 million, a billion users. And then maybe that's their force multiplier that gets them the next amount of revenue. But I think for them, it's going to be pretty hard to see, are they going to use AI to supplement their existing core services? Or are they going to launch a generative AI business and then pump that through their distribution?
All right, Albert, let's wrap it. Any last words?
Tencent's pretty interesting business. I think it's definitely one we should all look at really closely, because I think you put it perfectly, Dan. Like they don't come to the stage. They prefer to be backstage. And I think it's a business who likes to prefer to be backstage that we should be on the lookout for, because when they decide to come front and center, you know, it's going to be a very big thing.
Yeah, the last sort of bone I'll throw out is, you know, we saw what's happening with Alibaba, where they're splitting, I think it's into six different kind of business segments, or potentially could IPO off into six different segments. Interesting to see if Tencent takes cues from that. Maybe they see how Alibaba goes, but it just, you know, conceptually to me makes some sense where you have all these different arms. If you're really going to go as hard as you can operationally down one, kind of makes sense, I think, to put them into separate buckets. But yeah, I mean, that's just a trend to watch, I think, in the future. We've had this sort of consolidation of companies with Google, Amazon, et cetera, all kind of rolling things up into one. I wonder if in the next couple of decades, we're going to start seeing the opposite trend, as you often do with these cycles, where things start to segment a little bit more.
Yeah, and they've probably already started. Like Tencent Music is its own listed entity, so that's probably
that's right.
Yep.
Okay, Albert, let's finish up there. Thank you for listening to the East Meets West podcast, a podcast about understanding Asia tech and how Asia tech affects the world. Subscribe, follow the pod if you're not already, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks. See ya.